Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us.
Welcome. You're at the One Pres Pod, and it's Reverend Tasha Blackburn today. We are back in the pod. It's February, and we've taken some time to get some really good content to you, and so we begin. And today I begin with, who do I have here with me?
Are you going to say really good content?
Because really, I feel like that's good content.
The bar super high.
I've got Phil Blackburn with me. Yes, I do.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings and salutations.
Exactly. Well, we are. We're trying to revamp the podcast a little bit. And so we're trying to think about it a month at a time and giving our listenership a little taste of all the things they love about the podcast, a little taste every month of different things. So you're going to be looking at once a month, Ram asks a question, once a month, at least of the two of us together, once a month options throughout the year. And we're starting it off here in February with you and me.
You and me. It's great. Well, I think it's appropriate, Tasha, that we're starting off February with a conversation about a very early Lent.
Yes, it's about the earliest it can land. And for those of you who are thinking, I already don't know what you're talking about, it's kind of a whole big issue, isn't it? The big umbrella for it would be, are you a liturgical church or not? And you might have even kind of heard that phrase, oh, they're a liturgical church. And so what's it mean if we're a liturgical church?
Well, it means in this case that we follow liturgical time. Mm-hmm. So time in this sense is shaped by the spiritual seasons of the year,
yeah.
The Christian seasons of the year.
Not just the calendar.
Just the calendar. And so we're entering into the season of Lent. When you're liturgical, it means that your worship services follow a certain structure reflective of movements and your broader theology, mm-hmm. As opposed to just kind of, not doing that, of having kind of a more basic formula. But it also means that we observe liturgical time. So we have seasons. Advent leads up to Christmas. Mm-hmm. We observe Pentecost, the birthday of the church, later in the spring. And then we have Sundays after Pentecost. We have my favorite, ordinary time, mm-hmm. which is just ordinary time. There's no special religious significance
to
that
season.
Time. No high season.
Yeah. Well, and I sometimes think about it, too. Like, a good takeaway would be, in the liturgical church, there is no celebration without preparation. You know, like, we get very excited about Christmas, and we should, but we feel like in the liturgical tradition that you are actually going to experience Christmas more deeply and more meaningfully if you've prepared mm-hmm. in the season of Advent. So there's this preparation season of Advent that leads to the celebration of Christmas, and just like that for Easter. Mm-hmm. Before the celebration of Easter, we feel like it will be more meaningful, more powerful for you in your own life if you've had this season of preparation of Lent. So that's what it is.
And listen, it's not just the institutional we here that we're talking about. It's not just like when you say we, you're not talking about Presbyterians, although you are. You're talking about like you and me. Like we are full on board personally with the Lenten concept.
Yeah.
And I think we would both say that it has helped shape our faith mm-hmm. over the course of our lives. So it is. It's a season of preparation and discipline, 40 days, mm-hmm. that gets you ready for the good news of Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us have experienced over the course of our lives that when we don't prepare, mm-hmm. then Easter Sunday feels more like just an ordinary Sunday than the culmination of anything.
Yeah. Well, and it began because, way back in the day, pick an era, a long time ago, people would be baptized on Easter mm-hmm. Sunday. And that was pretty much the only day they would be baptized, was in celebration, you know, of Christ's resurrection, you'd be baptized. And so it began, Lent originally was sort of the confirmation class for those folks who were getting ready to be mm-hmm. baptized. They would do this 40 days preparation for their baptism. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's great that then over the years and over the generations, the church decided to broaden that out, not just new confirmands can be helped by this. Mm-hmm. Even if you aren't being baptized on Easter Sunday, your life can be, your spiritual life can be deepened mm-hmm. by the 40 days. But it started as like the first confirmation class.
Right.
And it's 40 days because 40 matters
yeah.
in the Bible. Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days. The Israelites wander in the wilderness 40 years. There's a lot of 40 in the Bible that it's like it's the full and complete time. It's the time necessary, mm-hmm. right, is like the shorthand of 40. So mm-hmm. we have 40 days of Lent because that's the time necessary.
Yep. And now what you're going to do is you're going to go find Ash Wednesday on your calendar and you're going to start counting. And you're
February 14th.
That's right. And you're going to say, well, there's more than 40 days here.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Yeah. It's new math.
Right.
No, well, if people always ask that, and they should, because it doesn't add up to 40, because you got to take out the Sundays.
Right, the Sundays.
Because the Sunday is the Lord's Day, no matter what the season, right? This mm-hmm. is what the pastors are going to tell you. No matter what season you find yourself mm-hmm. in, Sunday is the Lord's Day, mm-hmm. no matter what. So it doesn't count in the 40 days mm-hmm. of discipline. Mm-hmm. And what that means in a very tangible way to you and me is if you gave up, say, soda, mm-hmm. for Lent.
For example.
Ooh. Yeah. That means on Sunday, if you want.
You're having 64 ounces.
You're having a big gulp.
That's right.
From the gas station.
Yep.
Maybe on the way to church.
Maybe.
But yeah, because people do often give something up for mm-hmm. Lent. That's what it's kind of famous for, mm-hmm. As a season of sort of penitence and reflection. And I think that's important. I like the penitential mm-hmm. nature of it. That's not very popular in our cultural discourse, but the sense, even if all it teaches you and all it leads you in is the idea of enough, mm-hmm. like I have enough, mm-hmm. and it's good for us sometimes to live within the limits and to set some narrower limits mm-hmm. for ourselves, to remind ourselves, if nothing else, just on the very basic level, this is enough.
Right.
This is enough, and I don't need to always be grasping.
Right.
I don't want to be a person who is grasping in this life. I want to rest in the knowledge that this is enough. Mm-hmm. So people do often give something up for the sacrificial nature of it or for the opportunity to like use that as a pivot point to remind yourself of the season you're in. You know, like if you give up coffee or whatever, It's not because coffee's bad. It's because when you want to reach for that cup of coffee, oh, it's the signal that says, oh wait, I'm undergoing a discipline here, and it brings me back to it, to the focus. I mean, what do you think about the penitential nature of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of in modern American Christianity, there's not a strong sense of sacrifice.
Yeah.
In fact, there's the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's the prosperity sense. The more faithful I am, mm-hmm. the easier my life will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I should have heaps of money.
Right.
Yeah.
No health issues.
Yeah.
Get the job promotion that I want and find my soulmate, if I'm faithful enough.
Mm-hmm.
Lent is the practiced counter-narrative to yeah. that bad idea
yeah.
and that bad theology.
Mm-hmm.
Lent is a reminder that, no, as a matter of fact, we exist in this world to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
and to embody God's love for creation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways you embody God's love is through sacrificial acts. God's love was embodied by Jesus in the sacrifice of Jesus's crucifixion mm-hmm. and betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this mean during Lent we need to go get ourselves betrayed and crucified? Not necessarily.
Hopefully not.
But our act of sacrifice is an acknowledgement of the sacrificial element of our faith
mm-hmm.
and also an act of acknowledging our sin.
Yeah.
Like that's what the ashes do, and that's what that season does, is it reminds us, am I a perfect Christian? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in God's grace? Yes. Do I respond to God's grace by loving others? Yes. But I also respond to God's grace through acts of penance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as in today, when thoughts of prosperity have gone entirely too far. There have been times in the history of the church where acts of penance have gone entirely too
yes,
far.
Yeah.
This is not...
I don't recommend flogging
yourself
for 40
days. Right, right. This is not the guy in the Da Vinci Code, right, who treats himself horribly.
Yeah.
This is not sitting around saying, oh, I'm a horrible person, I deserve to suffer. Mm-hmm. If you're bent in that direction, and I know some of us are, don't do that. Be conscious that you're not doing that during Lent.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I think that is important about Lent is to consider carefully what that, if you're going to give something up, what are you giving up? It needs to be something that you feel, but not something that is punishing.
Yeah. But it also needs to not be a joke. I mean, I have many people know that my father always loves to say that he's giving up watermelon,
right?
You know, because there's no watermelon available. And it's like, okay, I get it. You know, love you, Dad. But it's not a joke either. Then don't give anything
right.
up. You know, I'll tell you, I think we should share. I want to talk about the sort of positive, actions that people can take in Lent at this time too. But before we do that, I want to say maybe share something that was meaningful to each of us that we've given up over time. I would say two things that I think have been the most meaningful, and then one that I haven't done because it scares me, and that probably means I should do it, right? The two things that ones that have been meaningful to me are when we gave up meat.
Mm-hmm.
It was meaningful because it was hard, and it was meaningful to me because of the way the second one was meaningful to me, because I felt like I was more in line with what the world family is doing. I mean, I live in such abundance where it's like if I want steak 3 times a week, I'm having steak 3 times a week. And my plate's going to be made up 2/3 of meat, right? Well, that's not the world plate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helped me each time where it was like, oh, beans again? Well, I'm part of a bigger family here, you know, and the story of Jesus puts us in a bigger family, and that helped me with that piece. The other one that I found really meaningful was, you'll probably remember this year, I gave up paying for drinks outside the house. So I could drink whatever I wanted, a soda or coffee or iced tea or whatever at the house if I bought it at the grocery store. But if we were out, it's just water. And then what I did was, I got this from a Clean Well Project idea that we had found out about. Then you estimate what you would have spent that week or whatever on those drinks, on those fun drinks. And at the end of Lent, you donate that to a Clean Well Act. And to me, that was really meaningful because it wasn't about sacrificing and never tasting coffee for 40 days. It was more about joining that bigger family. Mm-hmm. Would be the two. And then the one that scares me that you well know is to give up TV.
Yeah.
Ooh, that one scares me. Mm-hmm. What have been your kind of meaningful ones? And
well, so the meat one was interesting for sure. And you know, you learn stuff about yourself doing these things as well. Like 1 year I fasted. I don't know if you remember that. I would have lunch and then I wouldn't eat until lunch the following day.
Yes.
So I'd miss 2 meals.
Uh-huh.
And that was bad. Like, I didn't, what I learned, one, is I don't have the temperament for that.
Well, and if I'm just going to be angry at everybody I care about, have I really grown spiritually
And it was more of like, and then I would just binge, right? Like, I would eat a stupid amount of food for lunch on both ends.
Yeah.
And it felt pointless. It felt like I kind of gamed it, you know, where it was like, I'm not even doing anything.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to be doing this for a larger purpose, not to check a box.
Right, and, you know, I would say most of the time, now the meat one I think was an exception, but most of the time when I've done this, I've cheated or I've had exceptions or whatever. Who cares? Like, that's, like, it's a long time. Do the best you can.
Yeah, we're not talking about perfection.
Right.
We're talking about a journey.
Right. But I also think, too, you know, I think it's nice to take things on during Lent.
I was going to say, let's talk about the positive side of it, too. This has not been as historic. Historically, we have not done this, but in the more recent generations, and it's a great idea, it's not, Lent is not just about giving up, it's about taking on.
Mm-hmm.
Take on a practice, take on a discipline, take on a new habit that helps you spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I know, give an example, a couple examples of yours, because you often do this.
Yeah, I mean, 1 year I, like, read Galatians every day, and then I realized it was too long to read it every day. So I read like portions of it. I don't really remember what other things that I've taken on.
Well, you've taken on read a book
A book, yes, I do that. Yeah. So I read a book a week during Lent sometimes.
A spiritual, like a spiritual book. Read a spiritual book a week.
A week, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's
for
been,
the 6 weeks.
Yeah, and that's been nice. And I've certainly read some books that I probably wouldn't ordinarily have read. I've read some books that I really hated, you know, and then I taught a class on those books as I was doing it just to kind of hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's different things that you can do to add to your life. If you're somebody that struggles with the idea of taking something away, if it freaks you out, I mean, mm-hmm. what are we doing here?
But the idea that you could set your timer on your phone mm-hmm. for 5 minutes mm-hmm. and you could say every morning before I leave for work or every noon mm-hmm. when I have my lunch, you know, whatever, you pick the same time each day, mm-hmm. I'm going to hit go on that timer and I'm going to mm-hmm. pray for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, mm-hmm. that's it, and I'm going to take it on, and I want to see if how many of the 40 days I can do, and where it leads me, because you can't do it wrong,
right?
Except to not do it,
right?
So there's even something that very simple, or I want to read one psalm a day.
I mean,
this doesn't need to move mountains, right? Jesus talks about the small things that can move mountains, right? Mm-hmm. So read one psalm a day.
You know, I read a book one time where somebody gave away 40 items.
Yeah.
And it had to be stuff of value.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. And reading about how difficult it got quite quickly, because you don't realize how soon you get into stuff you actually care about when you're like, okay, well, on day one, I'm giving away this stupid gift that I got several years ago that I've never really cared about. But by day 10, odds are.
Yeah, you've gone through the regifting.
That's right. Yeah. You're into this stuff that it's like, wow, you know, I kind of have that for a reason.
And then what's the spiritual component of that, right? Because again, the point of this is not just to flog ourselves. Mm-hmm. The point is to say, what does the power of this stuff have over me? And what power do I want it to have over me? Where, how do I allot my time? Mm-hmm. And how do I want to allot my time?
Right. So there's lots of different things you can do. And I think, if you think about I think it should be a little bit uncomfortable. I don't think it should be that easy.
Yeah.
I think it can be adding or subtracting or both.
Mm-hmm.
But it should orient you back towards your faith. And it should also, this is not wellness, right? Like, this is not diet season. This is not like, I'm going to quit having sweets and lose 10 pounds.
I know. It's famous. Chocolate's famous.
Right. No, don't. Yeah. If you want to give up chocolate, that's fine. But that's not the point.
Yeah.
So, you know, sitting there, like, just thinking about maybe you're hung up, you want to do it, you're hung up, you don't know what to do. Like, there's basic stuff. Like, you know, keep bottles of water in your car, and every time somebody asks you for something at one of the stoplights in town, just hand them a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Go fill up some blessing boxes around town if you don't ordinarily do that. I know Keeley's going to be having some mission events.
Yeah, we're going to do some mini mission opportunities.
If you've never done mission stuff before, this is a great time to do one.
Yeah.
Just do one.
Yeah, say, I want to commit to one.
I want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, I'm going to try to meet new people in the church. Like, there's a lot of new people around. Try to meet, like, intentionally, I'm going to take on the discipline of meeting somebody new every time I come on a Sunday. It doesn't have to be like ripping out your fingernails.
Yeah.
Like, this is not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's enrichment. It's spiritual formation. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledgement of your place before God.
You know, and maybe it's something like whatever scripture we read in church, I'm going to write it down, you know, on the back of my checkbook or whatever. And I want to read that twice. At least twice that next week. I want to revisit it or whatever. It's just an opportunity to, and it has brackets on it, which is what's nice. It begins this year. It begins on Valentine's Day. Ha ha, welcome everyone. It begins February 14th this year, and it ends March 30th. Because Easter is about as early as it can be. Mm-hmm. It's March 31st. So it's this thing that has brackets. It's a special time, and it's an opportunity to not have it slip through your fingers and miss it all.
Yeah, and it is. It makes Easter special. And please, even if you don't take on a discipline, come to Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday services.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, truly don't understand how people can enjoy Easter when you went straight from Palm Sunday to Easter. It's just not something I can get my mind around.
It was a big week. It was a big week. A lot happened. Yeah.
And if you didn't go through the darkening of Maundy Thursday and you didn't go through the crucifixion of Good Friday and didn't walk through those very heavy emotional dark services, then you come on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and there's lilies everywhere, and you're like, oh, great. And everybody's singing hallelujah, and okay, well, you know, and you probably go someplace nice for lunch. And it's like,
how do you really feel, Phil?
Well, that's it. That's how I really feel. And so I hope everybody will avail themselves of those services on Ash Wednesday, Monday, Thursday.
Well, and even on a very basic faith psychological level with that, if we forget about the Thursday and the Friday of our faith, then what about the Thursday and Friday of our lives?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to just say, I'm not saying that Jesus' arrest and crucifixion and death are the same as me losing a job, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we don't go from height to height in our lives. You know, we have. Yeah. And I think it's so critically important for us, for the ones we care about, to know that faith also doesn't, the faith story doesn't go from height to height. In fact, it redeems the depth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't disappear the depth, but it redeems the depth. But it's there.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's what Lent's about.
Right. No, it is. Yeah. So, you know, I think I hope everybody will spend some time thinking about it, pray about it, and, mm-hmm. and commit to something this month. And
we've given them a little bit of heads up.
We've given you a heads up. So
before the 14th.
And we will see you at 6 o'clock on the 14th to put some ashes on your forehead or your wrist if you're a coward.
It's not the wrist, it's the top of the hand.
Whatever.
Anyway, all of that is to say we are so glad to be back with you on the One Press Pod.
Talk to you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it, and go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.